The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Buddy Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray's engineering and producing the show for us on the other side of the glass, and together we welcome you to March 22nd, a Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show, as we have a one-and-done, maybe record, one day of going over 90, hitting 90, maybe over a little bit, and then cooling down again, which I like to hear for the weekend, because just not ready for the 90-plus temperatures yet. We have a very busy hour, so why don't we get right into it after I tell you that our live line number is 790-2040, and you are welcome to call this program anytime during the hour. But we do have a lot to talk about with Tucson City Council member Paul Durham is with us. Mr. Durham, Democrat representing Tucson's Ward Number 3. This is his first visit to the Buckmaster Show since we had our council discussions with the candidates and before the election. So, Councilman, congratulations, and how have the first 3 months or so gone for you?
It's just a little more than four.
It's
been great. We're staffed at full strength now as of just a couple of weeks ago, there is no opportunity, no end of opportunity for learning in this job, and I'm loving it.
And the learning curve has been
well, pretty steep the first month, especially the month of December. When January came, I was just happy that December was over.
There you go. You've been a huge proponent of alternative energy, and you're announcing today on the program that SunTran will be moving forward with a pilot project for electric buses. This is something cities like Seattle, I don't know if they are entirely electric, but places like LA are moving in this direction. Do you hope this will be the first of what could be a big deal with electric buses?
Oh, yes. I'm convinced that electric buses are where the technology is going to end up. And I have persuaded SunTran and TDOT to lease one bus for a trial period of 6 months to a year, maybe 6 months to 9 months probably. And we're going to try it out in the summer when the air conditioning load is greater. And we're going to solicit bids from four major manufacturers. And I think it's something I campaigned on, and it's really nice to see it implemented.
Would you like to see an all-city electric bus system?
Los Angeles has adopted the goal of an all-electric bus fleet by 2030. Mm-hmm. If they can do it, we can do it. We might have to do it a little more slowly because we have less money than Los Angeles does. But that's the direction I believe we should head.
There's also news about a Tiger grant. And for those that don't know, these are usually large federal grants. And this Tiger grant is a $25 million federal grant for Arizona for State Route 189 at the border. Why is this important for Tucson, Paul Durham?
This will decrease border crossing times, especially for truck shipments, and that has been a drawback of our current arrangement. It will improve the road access to the crossing station, to the border crossing station, and significantly reduce border crossing times. And that is a very important factor in deciding where you're going to send a truck across the border.
Is this something that was specifically applied? Did the city apply for this, or was this a state venture?
Arizona Department of Transportation, and yes, applied with significant influence from Mayor Jonathan Rothschild, from the Arizona Congressional Delegation, the entire Arizona Congressional Delegation to the House, signed a letter in support of this grant.
All right. We have a call to the program at 790-2040 regarding buses and electric bus pilot program that was just announced here on the program. Roberta would like to join the conversation. Go ahead, Roberta.
Hi. When I was a little girl, we had electric buses and streetcars, and I could get on them and go anywhere with my mother. I was 5 years old when the first diesel bus came on the road. It pulled up to the bus stop, and I got so sick, my mother had to take me home and put me to bed. I think we'd have a lot less chronic disease if we could cut back on all that pollution.
Yes, right. Electric buses can contribute to cleaner air, but the equally important is we save money over the life of an electric bus because the maintenance and fuel and repair costs are much lower. True, the buses do cost more, but by the time you've over a 12-year life of the bus, you save money.
790-2040, that is our live line number. Paul Durham is with us. If you have any questions about electric buses or transportation or really anything to do with the city, we're going to be getting into the situation with the shortage of police officers in a moment. But while we're talking about things that move like buses, but these move a lot faster, and these are F-35 aircraft, public hearing, Councilman Durham has now been scheduled for late April here in Tucson to discuss the upcoming environmental impact study on having those jets at Davis-Monthan. There are four locations in the country that could possibly have the F-35s. Are you hearing anything from your constituents complaining about that this would not be a good thing because of the noise of these jets?
I'm not hearing a lot yet, but I think that as the as the focus turns to the subject, I'll almost certainly hear more.
Have you made up your mind at all?
I haven't. I'm struggling with how to do that research, but I would like to know how much noisier they are.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm sure that someone probably has those statistics about noise
sure.
levels.
Yeah, yeah.
But and as we get closer, perhaps to this this hearing, I think it's April 24th. I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more about the decibel levels of the F-35s compared to some of the planes that,
right.
that routinely fly
right.
in here to Davis-Monthan,
like the A-10, for
right.
example. And but I was just back in Washington D.C. and for a National League of Cities conference, and spent a day on Capitol Hill, and was able to thank Representative Martha McSally for her plan to re-engine and strengthen the wings of the A-10. That'll keep it flying for several more years, I guess the 2030,
mm-hmm.
and that's terrific.
All right, let's go to, got a couple of calls. Maybe we can take them both before the break. Ingrid is up first, wanting to talk a little bit about planes. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Okay, I was going to say something about the electric trolleys, too. They cause foot traffic injuries. They also pollute. They use coal and so forth to get energy. There's a lot to think about. As far as the planes go, the A-10 is what the military personnel prefer for their own safety, and I'm happy that it's being promoted. But all the noise that's being made, this morning there was a program where they talked about that, and I suggested that they condemn the area and purchase the land, and the federal government can pay for that. People knew what they were getting into when they bought the property, but things, you know, it's out of control, and maybe it's just time for the property to be taken over by the federal government. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Ingrid.
I'm not sure which property she's talking about.
Talking property near Davis Monthan, I believe she's talking about. I don't know how much of that area.
We do have to be sensitive to neighbors' concerns about noise. Absolutely.
Matthew, let's see if we can work Matthew in before the break. Go ahead, Matthew.
Yeah. Paul, I don't know your vote, but a couple council meetings ago, the city council approved the city manager's recommendation for an infrastructure for water, for the
yes.
water department.
Yes.
For up to 2.5 million annually a year for newly acquired annexed areas. Given that Ward 3 needs infill infrastructure, could you talk about that program versus what you're doing in Ward 3 to promote business improvements? Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. It's good to hear from you. So I supported that, the water incentive, water infill incentive, and the only opposing vote was Councilmember Romero. I believe that it is very helpful. It will only promote infill development if the property is eligible for the Tucson Waters area service plan or area service policy. That's the only property that will qualify for the water infill, the incentive. And furthermore, before I was on the council, they visited the subject once, and the council then asked for incentives to energy efficiency, water efficiency, transportation, alternative transportation, incentives for employees. So we are going to, by adopting the incentive, we are going to encourage new buildings to be models of efficiency, and I think that's a good thing. That will raise the bar for the private sector.
All right. We'll have more with Paul Durham in a moment. Mona's Danish Bakery, the newest partner of the Buckmaster Show, home of the Danish Kringle. They're located northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, right now open for lunch. A sandwich would be wonderful on that freshly baked bread that the owner Steve is labors so early in the morning to make sure that you have fresh bread for your sandwich at noon. Mona's Danish Bakery at Swan and Sunrise. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com, for a link to Mona's. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up on Friday, Fletcher McCusker will be our guest. Mr. McCusker heads up Rio Nuevo. The Friday Roundtable features Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com and Joe Ferguson, the political writer for the Arizona Daily Star. Matt Russell has Weekend Watch Buckmaster noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI. It's Tucson's voice. Live streaming BuckmasterShow.com. Back. This portion of the program brought to you by Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Saturday and Sunday at 10 will be one of those free workshops. They'll be talking about succulents and serving mimosas. That sounds great. It's a free workshop. GreenThingsAZ.com is the website for more information. Paul Durham is with us. Mr. Durham, Democrat representing Tucson's Ward 3. We announced, or Mr. Durham announced at the top of the program, that an electric bus pilot program will begin with SunTran, initially just with one bus, but Mr. Durham would hope that it will go to bigger and better things. The big story, though, right now, Councilman, is the city and the police shortage. Many think that we're down maybe 100 or more officers patrolling the streets than just a couple of years ago, and maybe the lowest staffing levels since the late 80s. Chief Magnus has called it a crisis. I think you would agree with that situation. The chief has put forward a plan that he thinks could help turn it around with a 5% pay hike. Where do you stand on all of that?
I'm supporting Magnus's plan, we ordinarily would lose about 6 officers a month just through normal attrition. We're losing officers at the rate of 8 officers a month. So that is 24 officers in the course of a year more than we should be losing. Mm-hmm. It's money walking out the door. It's not a good idea in any department to have attrition like that.
Well, the city manager has talked about a 2.5% raise. Is this of enough a crisis proportion, a councilman, that you feel that the council needs to, in effect, tell the city manager, look, come up with the 5%?
I have told the city manager that. And my goal is to implement a plan crafted by Chief Magnus, if we can at all possibly afford it.
Is the fire department in better shape, in your opinion?
They have salary compression there. They don't have the same attrition or retention problems, but that's in part because of a different culture and regulatory system at among Arizona fire departments. I believe that if we continue to see wage stagnation, we will develop attrition retention problems at TFD too.
But right now, in effect, we're like some of these young guys that are young guys and women who choose law enforcement are getting using the city of Tucson as like their minor leagues getting their training, and then they go on to other departments after a few years.
We're reasonably competitive at starting salaries, but we get uncompetitive once you get to 3 years and up, and that's when we start losing people.
All right. I'm going to take this quick call going back, I believe, to the situation. The caller had a question about DM, Davis Monthan. Sheldon, go ahead, Sheldon.
Yes, DM is such a vital base to our economy. You have persons who are stationed there in the military, those who work at Davis Monthan. Then you have training. Foreign governments will sometimes be trained. Davis Month, and that contributes greatly to our economy as well. That must be strongly remembered, please.
All right. Yes. Well, DM is of course a huge economic factor, and it is good news about the news this week that the head of the Air Force, in effect, said that the A-10 will be around through like 2030. So that gives us a little breathing room, I guess.
Yeah, I agree completely with the caller. Davis Monthan is critically important to our local economy, no question.
But as far as the F-35, the jury is still out as far as you're concerned.
Yes.
How about the budget overall? And getting back to not just the police situation, what kind of a money package fiscal plan are we looking at for the upcoming fiscal year, which begins on July 1st, pretty much right around the corner.
The city manager has recommended, and I agree, that we need to go to a 29-year amortization from a 19-year amortization on the public safety pension program unfunded liability. It's going to cost us more money. It's just the same as a 15-year mortgage versus a 30-year mortgage. But you go with a 30-year mortgage if you can't afford the monthly payments on a 15-year, and that's unfortunately the situation that we're in.
And, you know, we talked about police and retaining police, but it's been a problem in the city retaining some of our good people.
You know, I was just talking with an employee a couple of days ago that we lost for economic reasons, and we've got to stop that.
Well, it's a big problem, and so this overall spending plan, is it very similar to last year's total amount of money involved in it?
So there is, fortunately, the change to the 29-year amortization will free up about $6 million. Mm-hmm. And we're going to use that for salaries.
All right. And as far as your area with the roads in your ward, how are things looking in Ward 3? You've got that Grant Road area.
You know, Grant Road is coming along. We just heard the announcement about closing Grant and Stone for the weekend. It will be nice when it's done.
Overall, do you think that the road situation is improving dramatically here?
Look, we have a $750 million problem. If we wanted to bring all the roads up within Tucson to the level that they should be, It's going to cost $750 million. Now, we've made some progress. We passed in 2012 Prop 409, $100 million for roads. Prop 101 passed in May of 2017, another $100 million for roads over 5 years. We are making progress. We just have a very big problem. We can't solve it overnight.
How about police morale? What are you hearing? Are people do the officers feel that, you know, they support the chief?
Well, I believe that the chief's proposal will be well received among the officers. I believe it will start to address the morale and retention problem.
All right, Paul Durham, Tucson City Councilman representing Ward Number 3, and we will try to get Mr. Durham back on the program on a semi-regular basis. This is his first appearance with us since he was sworn in. Wanted to give him a little time to get his feet wet, which he has done. Hit the ground running there. All right. Councilman, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Buckmaster Show. Midweek, or yeah, it's a Thursday edition already, isn't it? We've got our Friday Focus interview tomorrow with Fletcher McCusker. That's coming up at 12:04 tomorrow. Be right back. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
An Indian food lover's paradise awaits at Indian Twist, located at the southwest corner of Swan and Camp Lowell, with a varied and extensive menu including vegetarian options and many dishes prepared in the tandoor oven. Indian Twist offers takeout and buffet lunch daily, with dinner served family style. The full bar features Indian beers on tap. Indian Twist, Swan and Camp Lowell, and IndianTwistAZ.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show as we now plunge into our second half hour of the program. It is time for our CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Sun Corridor Incorporated, a transformative economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America. The CEO-driven regional alliance has helped to drive significant business investment into the Tucson and Southern Arizona region through primary job creation, resulting in almost 150 company relocations and expansions, and an economic impact of over $22 billion. For more information about Southern Arizona's economic engine, go to suncorridorinc.com. Joining me in studio is Jeremy Sharp. Jeremy oversees the business operations and community and resident relations for the 18,000 residents of Rancho Sahuarita, which recently received the Project of the Decade Award from the Metropolitan Pima Alliance. A 40 under 40 recipient, Jeremy was the founding chair of the Downtown Tucson Coalition. He's involved in a long list of community organizations, including Sun Corridor Inc. and the Southern Arizona Leadership Council. And I believe, Jeremy, all of this for a guy who is still under 30, is that correct?
Barely. Birthday's next month.
There you go. I mean, a lot of accomplishments for certainly a guy that's 29 years old. Welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate being here.
Tell me a little bit for our listeners who don't know about Rancho Sahuarita. What is it like?
So Rancho Sahuarita is a 3,000-acre master plan. My father, Bob Sharp, actually founded the community, and I came back to join him. We're about halfway complete. We have 5,700 homes, and at build-out, we'll be around 10,000 homes and have a beautiful Sahuarita Town Center. It's a 450-acre town center.
So this was your dad's vision.
It was.
How did all that come about?
You know, my dad was a land speculator.
Really?
And God never wanted to be a developer, but always wanted to build a city. Ever since he was a little boy playing with Lincoln Logs, he always wanted to create a city and create a vision. And so he's been working on this for over 20 years, and I'm grateful to have the opportunity to keep working with him.
And how did he pick that particular area?
You know, he, like many developers, kind of stumbled upon it as an opportunity. But I think what was really interesting about it was right off a freeway with I-19. And also there was a really good school district. You know, education is key to development and where people locate their homes, but also their businesses. So between those two, as far as having a freeway and good schools in the 90s, that was, for a long-term 40-year project, that's key.
And as a planned community, what does that mean, Jeremy? I mean, other than the obvious that there was a vision, but how does that vision carry through now to what's going on today?
You know, early on, my dad's vision was to create the most highly amenitized community in Southern Arizona. But the key part of that is, how do you make it affordable?
Mm-hmm.
For many years, people were building golf courses and so forth and creating these master plans, but not necessarily for that working market, that entry-level move-up buyer market, that first-time home buyer. And the dream was, how do you really create an environment that makes people's lives better? And so we launched with that vision of creating a highly amenitized community. And during the recession, we really saw that residents were being challenged, and it became about making people's lives better. And today, if you ask us what our why is of our 100 employees, it's about creating a better life. Everything we do today is about creating a better life for our residents, for our partners. And as we continue, that's what drives every decision we make.
So you said there are 100 employees?
We do, yeah, 100.
And how large a footprint, acreage, are we talking about? Give our listeners some kind of an idea.
It's 3,000 acres.
Okay.
And it's about 20 minutes south of Tucson. So pretty close.
Amenities and as far as open space, with planned communities, open space is a key component, is it not?
It is. And we took the approach that people wouldn't have to leave. So we have over 200 events a year, ranging from 100-person coffee socials to partnering with the town of Sarita to do a 10,000 or 15,000-person Halloween and 4th of July festival.
It's like every other day there's something going on.
There is. You know, we do 50 free classes, 50 classes a week, and really
A lot of these are free classes?
30 of them are free a week.
Yeah,
and then there's karate and yoga and so forth. So a lot of different opportunities to get involved. Over 17 miles of trails, 12 different parks throughout the community thus far.
How about demographics, Jeremy?
So we see our demographics of being young families.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're the younger 30s with two or three kids, and a lot of them are working. A lot of them are Air Force, or working at Raytheon, or with the mining companies, or working with the Border Patrol. They're busy households, and so anything that we can do from a programming standpoint to make their lives a little better, we try to do.
I know you're a big supporter of Sun Corridor Inc. What do you like about it?
You know, Sun Corridor has been a great partner to us and continues to be a great partner, both on the residential side and connecting us to new businesses that are coming in. But more importantly, it's helping us as we grow our Sarita Town Center, which has and will have commercial opportunities, both office and industrial and retail. As we continue to grow that, Sun Corridor is that key partner that when new companies are looking at Southern Arizona, Rancho Street is right there at that table. And saying from a commercial standpoint, it's a great place to locate your business.
How are your roads and your infrastructure?
So that's something that's a little different.
Because when you start talking to people in Tucson, roads always come up. So you've got a little different situation.
We do. You know, being a younger community and a planned community, we've been able to work with the town of Sarita to really create a wonderful environment. If you drive down there, you'll see great quality roads, a great quality of infrastructure to where, whether it's a business or residential, we're able to supply those needs to them.
Do you work closely with Mayor Murphy?
I do. Mayor Murphy has been a great friend to Rancho Sarita as well as the town of Sarita. He's a great partner. Mayor Murphy, who's a veteran, is everywhere at one time, and he's working hard for the
town. He's a man in motion, isn't he?
He is. He's working hard for the town of Sarita.
How about new businesses coming? I know one of the things he's working for is try to get some new business down there so people don't have to necessarily always just come up to Tucson for their shopping.
Yeah, and as we look to 2018 and we looked at new jobs coming within the region, we actually have decided to reinvest and continue investing in the community, opening up about 800 residential lots. We have a new neighborhood that just opened with Richmond American Homes, as well as two new neighborhoods opening this summer. And as part of that, we're also continuing the road through the Sarita Town Center. And I can't speak on it quite yet, but we're excited for what's to come. Hopefully I'll be back here in a few months to be able to talk about some new job opportunities and services that will be coming to the town. That truly is a huge benefit both for the town of Sarita, but the overall Southern Arizona region.
How is your price point down there for your homes?
I believe Richmond's new homes are starting in the low to mid 200s.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, our resales continue to do well. Mm-hmm. Our resale market is strong. With homes in the low 200s as well, so definitely a great place to step in. The new neighborhoods I think will be in the mid 200s to low 300s. So it's a great place for a young family to buy their first home or move into a new home.
Is your father still active?
My dad is, and he's sorry he wasn't able to be here today. My dad actually got brain cancer about 3 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry
and
to hear
three
that.
Years ago, actually, this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
He was given a 2% chance to live past 15 months.
Whoa.
And we just celebrated his 3-year anniversary. And so my dad is still really engaged within the business, but more importantly, he's out there kind of spreading the message that today is a good day. I called him every single day right after his surgery, and I said, how are you doing today, Dad? And he said, today's a good day. And so that's kind of the perspective our company takes. That's who mm-hmm. we are. And my dad is out there still engaged in the business, but also enjoying and trying to raise money to find a cure for brain cancer.
Living each day.
He's living each day. It's with his leadership that we're able to keep going.
That's the way to do it. Some people have asked me, well, what's your like 5-year plan? Or my plan is like have a good day, right? And a good show.
I kind of take get through the next hour.
I take one day at a time, I tell you, because there's an old adage in our business, you're only as good as your last show. So I want to make sure it's a good show. Jeremy, thank you so much. Jeremy Sharp with us. And sounds like good things going on at Rancho Sahorita.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. And where can people find out more information about
you? You can go to our website, ranchosahorita.com.
All righty. Our CEO interview series presented by SunCorridorInc.com. That's the website to go to find out more about Southern Arizona's economic engine. We'll be right back.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our 3 new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun cover 2 of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, segment number four upon us. On this Thursday afternoon, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico makes a great weekend getaway. You know, when temperatures go to record territory here in Tucson, over 90, I think I can start talking about Silver City being 15 degrees cooler. That's usually my summer pitch, but this is the beginning of it, I think, right here. It is a great getaway over there in the hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. So a little bit cooler and very pleasant elevation at about a mile high, 5,500 feet. The good starting place to check it all out, places to stay and things to do, is southwestnewmexico.org. Let's go now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Kelly Fryer is with us. Kelly, one of three Democratic gubernatorial hopefuls. Kelly, how are you?
I'm doing good, Bill. How are you? The last time I talked to you, you were homesick.
That would have been in mid-January, yes. Did the show remotely, so I wasn't going to contaminate anyone. And feeling good now. And how are you doing? How is the campaign going?
I'm doing great, Bill. I am on a 10,000-mile real state-of-the-state tour around the state of Arizona. My little trip meter just tripped over 5,100 miles.
Whoa.
And I'm on the road right now. So this time I'm talking to you remotely.
So tell me, one of these days we're going to go face-to-face here. What are people telling you on this listening tour, Kelly?
Well, you know, I am having conversations with people all around the state. I'm going to places, I'm going everywhere, including places that politicians don't usually go around the state. And I have to tell you, I mean, a lot of people are very concerned about the condition of our public schools, of course, really supporting the teachers and their desire for, you know, to be paid like professionals and to have the best possible education for the kids around our state. But I have to tell you, one of the main things that people want to talk to me about is this economy in Arizona. I don't know if you saw the USA Today article, I think it was last week, that ranked Arizona as one of 10 states in this country where the middle class is shrinking and the gap between the very wealthy and everybody else gets wider and wider every year. So as I'm going around the state, that's what people want to talk to me about.
So the richer are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer.
The rich are getting richer, and the rest of us are getting further and further away from being rich. Like I said, the middle class in this state is actually shrinking.
What would the Kelly Fryer plan be to change that?
Well, you know, the first thing I'm doing is really making a point of talking with entrepreneurs and small business owners all around the state. So I was in Yavapai in Coconino County last week and weekend, meeting with small business owners. I was at a forum in Pima just a few days ago, listening to African American entrepreneurs talk about what it's, you know, the challenges that small business owners have. And yesterday, I was in Maricopa, meeting with a group of entrepreneurs and innovators, small business owners that are part of the Alliances group. It's 1,400 members strong, and really listening to the dreams that people have, the hopes, the plans, and they just need a state government that's going to come alongside of them and really help them succeed.
Everything is focused, it seems like, on school security, and a lot of that focus is rightly placed. What would you suggest? What do we need to do to make our schools safer, Kelly?
Well, you know, if you just go to the Giffords Foundation website, you open up their website, they've got some recommendations for every state, including the state of Arizona. And I would support every single one of those recommendations. And I think that the majority of Arizona voters would agree with me based on the surveys that we're seeing, based on the activism. And I'm going to be marching with the students in the March for Our Lives this coming Saturday.
And where will you be marching? Will that be up in Phoenix, or where are you going to be?
Well, a good friend of mine passed away a few weeks ago, and his memorial service is in Tucson on Saturday afternoon. So I'll be marching with the students in Tucson on Saturday morning.
Would you be against arming teachers in the classroom, Kelly Fryer?
I have to say, Bill, I have not heard of a wackier idea than arming teachers. Our teachers have their hands full just trying to educate students in a state that doesn't pay them living wages, that doesn't respect them as professionals, that tries to dictate what their curriculum ought to be, keeps them in a straitjacket around testing in the state. It's hurting our kids, it's hurting our teachers, and I'd like to see our state government focus on how to support teachers in their mission of educating our kids and preparing them to compete in the 21st century rather than putting guns in their hands. And I guess that's a pretty clear answer.
How about the three-way, in a three-way primary, what separates you from your two opponents?
Well, you know, Bill, people started talking to me about running for office right after the first Women's March. I stood up on the stage at the microphone and looked out at that sea of faces in Tucson at that first Women's March, and I knew something incredible is happening right now. There is a movement of people across the state and across the country, for that matter, who are saying, you know what, the direction that this country is going, the direction that this state is going is wrong, and we're going to do something about it. And I knew at that moment that if there was a way to galvanize folks across the state and focus them on making change, we could do it. But I watched over this last year as the candidates in the Democratic primary for governor ran, I'm going to just say, really safe and traditional campaigns. I didn't see them talking about the kinds of issues that I care about, the kinds of issues that are important to the voters of this state. And I just think we can't afford to lose. So I'm in this race. I was the last one in, and I'm the first one, and in some cases the only one, to put out really robust policy proposals on the issues that Arizona voters care about. If you go to my website, fryerforarizona.com, you can see those policy proposals. I'm not playing it safe. I'm being really clear, really transparent, and really authentic with the voters of this state. And it's really resonating with folks.
And for those folks who don't know, of course, you took a leave of absence heading up the YWCA here in Tucson. Give us some of these proposals. Can you kind of summarize some of them for us, how they are so much different than, you said, the other two candidates had run pretty much a safe campaign? Give us some examples about how you are not running a safe campaign.
Well, first of all, I'm being very transparent about, you know, my stand on laws that control weapons in the state, on women and the rights of women in the state. But I think at this point, the thing that is most distinguishing is that I'm bringing really creative ideas to the conversation about economic development in the state that is equitable, that is sustainable, and that is focused on locally owned businesses. As the CEO of the YWCA, I have pulled together a coalition in Tucson and South Tucson and Pima County, a coalition of nonprofit leaders, university professors, local government officials, and business leaders. And we've pulled this coalition together in part with help from a grant from the Howery Foundation at the university to really explore innovative economic development practices that are happening not only across the United States, but around the world. We're sending people out on field trips to go to places like Cleveland, where business leaders and government leaders are working together to really bring economic development to some of the economically poorest neighborhoods in that city. We're going to bring those ideas back to Pima County so that we can implement them and really help the everyone in this economy thrive. I'd like to bring that kind of research, innovation, creativity, collaboration, and real critical thinking to the whole state of Arizona and really get some good ideas on the table for how we can make the state work for everybody.
All right, Kelly Fryer, again, your website is?
FryerForArizona.com.
Thank you very much, Kelly. Be safe out there.
Thank you, Bill.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
All right,
bye-bye.
Kelly Fryer on the road in her quest to win the Democratic primary, a three-way race there. Okay, coming up this afternoon, Chris Collins is hosting Mike Shaw's show. Mike's off for a couple of days. That show from 4 to 6 is Mike Check with Mike Shaw. And Ray Allen's going to help out Chris today. Then Ray's going to be hosting tomorrow. Very cool. Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 9 tomorrow morning. Me, Bill Buckmaster, with Fletcher McCusker. Our Friday Focus interview, certainly no shortage of things to talk about with Rio Nuevo in downtown Tucson. On behalf of the smiling Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.